Good morning. There is a place in California that my family likes to go. It's called Fort Funston. And Fort Funston is an open area of hills and dunes right along the Pacific coast, where you hike through these hills and then down a sandy path all the way down until you reach the beach. But this isn't a beach for swimming or surfing or sandcastles. This is really just a giant dog park. And so at this beach, all the dogs are off the leash, and they're running around everywhere having a great time. So when I was home in California in December with my family, we decided to take a trip to the beach, and we packed up 2 babies, 5 adults, and a dog, and we headed over to Fort Funston. We took this long walk through the woods and hills down to the beach, and our dog, whose name is Brutus, had a great time. He ran all over the place, he jumped into the waves, chased sticks, rolled around in the sand. He had a lot of fun, but it was really messy. And so the time came to get back in our car and drive home, and the dog was a mess. We brushed him off as best as we could, but still, it didn't really help. So we got in the car, and he got all into everybody's lap and left muddy paw prints all over our clothes. Everything that touched him was filthy. And then we got home, and somehow the dog got inside and started rolling around on the rugs in our living room. So they were filthy. Everything this dog touched, it was immediately dirty. It had dog hair and slobber and sand all over it. And there's nothing you can do with a dog like that at that point except send them out back, out into the backyard, and don't let them back inside until they get clean. Just avoid touching them. So I was thinking about our dog Brutus this week and that trip to the beach as I was reading these 2 passages from Scripture. Both of them are stories about people who are suffering from leprosy. One is a general named Naaman, and the other is an unnamed leper who comes to see Jesus hoping to be healed. Both men are suffering from a skin disease that makes them unclean. But also, anyone who comes into contact with them or touches them can also become unclean. Kind of like sand on a wet dog. Leprosy is contagious. And so what I want to suggest to you today as we begin to look at these 2 stories is that these are not just dermatological stories about people who have skin problems, but they are really theological stories. They seek to teach and tell us something about who God is or what God is like. And so I want to invite you to open yourself again to God's story as we hear it in Scripture and to discover how your story, where you're at, what's going on in your life, might relate somehow to this word of the Lord from Scripture. So as we begin again today, let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us this day. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our gospel story for the morning begins this way. It says that a leper came to Jesus, kneeling and begging him. And he said, "If you choose, you can make me clean." And moved with pity, it says that Jesus reached out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do choose. Be made clean." And immediately, the leprosy left him, and he was clean. Now, the leper in this story is held captive by the power of his skin disease. His leprosy not only affects him physically, but it also isolated him socially and spiritually. According to the Old Testament law, which is found in Leviticus, anyone who suffered from this kind of skin disease was separated from everyone else. They were considered ceremonially unclean. And since this disease was potentially contagious, lepers had to live alone. They lived outside of town, and whenever they came into town, they had to announce their presence by going through the streets saying, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." They had to announce their uncleanness. So because of these prohibitions, it was very unusual for a leper to approach someone the way this man does with Jesus. Not only is he contagious, but there's also this social stigma. People just didn't want him around. So in a really bold move, he comes to Jesus kneeling and begging, and says, "If you choose, you can make me clean." And it says that Jesus looked at him and saw him with pity. Another translation of the word is compassion. And this is the first lesson that I want to share with you from this scripture passage today, that God looks at us. God looks at you with your hurts and our needs, with our skin diseases and our broken down relationships, with our sin and our sickness and our silliness. God looks at us with compassion, with pity, with love, no matter what we've got. And you know, we've all got something. Maybe it's not leprosy, but we've all got things in our lives that isolate us or stigmatize us or cut us off somehow from a right relationship with God and with other people. But our story tells us today that God sees us as we are, even with all that we've got going on or going wrong in our lives, and that God does not look at us with anger or with judgment or with rejection, but with compassion. Our God is a compassionate God. And this should be really good news for us. This should be really good news for you, but I suspect that most of you don't believe it. Most of you and me, much of the time, don't believe this good news. Instead, we hold on to what I want to call today a dirty dog theology. Do you have a dirty dog theology? I do sometimes. Here's what I mean. Think about that dirty dog we talked about earlier. You know, the one who was romping around on the beach? The one who got all covered in sand and mud and muck, and then who got into the car and was stepping on everybody, and who was licking the baby's face, don't tell Lisa, and who then when we got home was rolling around on the rugs and making the whole house dirty. A dirty dog theology tells us that God looks at us the way we look at that dog. Get out of the car. Get out of the house. Get out of my sight. I don't want to see you or touch you or hear from you until you are cleaned up, dirty dog. Is that what God is like? Keep away from me until you're clean, until you're healed, until you've kicked that habit, until you've straightened out your life. I wonder, is that the way that God operates? Actually, it's just the opposite. Scripture tells us that the proof of God's amazing love for us is this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus saw this man and was moved with pity for him. So while he was still trapped in the power of that leprosy, in the power of his disease, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him and said, "I do choose to make you clean." God has compassion for us right where we are, even in the midst of our struggles or our sickness or our sin, the things that we face. But God doesn't stop there, because God doesn't want this leper to go on just living in this same way, afflicted and burdened and cut off from everybody else. So Jesus says, "I choose to make you clean." And the word in Greek that the Bible uses here, the word is thelo. And this is a word that can mean a number of different things. It can mean choose or desire or wish or love or delight. Hear this again. Jesus says to the man, "I desire to make you clean. I love to heal you. It is my delight to make you whole." This is the second lesson that our story is teaching us today about who God is. God is compassionate, and God delights in our healing. God loves to make us whole. God desires that we be freed from the things that hold us back in our life from experiencing what Jesus calls life abundant. So is God like an angry dog owner sitting in the house, arms folded, pouting about all that sand? in sand and mud? No. God's delight, what God loves to do, is to reach out and to touch us and to heal us and to help. In the Old Testament Mosaic law, if someone was cleansed somehow of leprosy, they would go to the priest, and the priest would see their situation and would pronounce them clean. After Jesus heals this man, he sends him and says, go present yourself to the priest in this way. The role of the priest in the Old Testament was not to clean someone or help them or do that. The role of the priest was simply to confirm that this had happened. If by chance a leprosy started going away, started clearing up, they could go and show to the priest and say, look, I'm doing better. And the priest could say, great, now you will be reinstated into the community. But this isn't the way it is with God. You see, God doesn't stand back and wait to see whether we're going to get our act together. God doesn't wait to see whether we'll somehow clean it up. God doesn't wait to see whether we'll somehow figure it out. No, God reaches out to us. God reaches out to you. In Jesus Christ, God came down to live among us, flesh and blood. In Jesus, we get an up-close and personal view of who God is. God is compassionate toward our weakness, and God acts in power to bring restoration, healing, and renewal into our lives. This is God's delight. I wonder, as you think about your own life and your story, in light of this story today, whether you might identify in some way with this leper. Are there places of weakness or need, things that you would ask for Jesus to heal or to help in you today? I wonder where you might already be experiencing how God is at work in you. Are there areas of your life where you can sense God's delight in blessing you or in healing you or in putting your life back together somehow? Well, all of this leads us toward our third point for the morning, our third lesson, and that is, if we're talking all about the power of God, who's at work in us with both compassion and delight, if all of this is the work of God in Christ, then what, if anything, are we supposed to do? What is our part to play? Can we pat the bunny? This was the question that our Old Testament lesson for today poses. You will remember that it's a story about Naaman, who was a powerful general in the land of Aram, which is modern-day Syria. It's northeast of Israel. And Naaman was successful in just about everything that he did. But he had one problem. Naaman had leprosy. We've all got something. And since he is a man of bold action, when he finds out that there's a cure for him that's possible over in the land of Israel, immediately he sets out. He gets letters from his king, and he goes to see the king of Israel. He rides all the way there by horseback. This man is rough and ready. When he finds out that the king of Israel cannot help him, he goes on to the house of the prophet, Elisha. Elisha was Israel's main religious leader at the time. It's something like coming to Providence and coming to meet Pastor Chris. Very important stuff. So Naaman is prepared to do whatever it takes to get this healing in his life. But then he's surprised, because the prophet Elisha doesn't even come out the door to greet him. And he doesn't perform any elaborate prayers. He doesn't step into any time-consuming rituals. He doesn't make a big spectacle. He doesn't jump through fire. He doesn't walk on coals. All he tells Naaman is to go to the river and wash 7 times, and he'll be clean. But this doesn't sit well with Naaman, because as we said, he's a man of action. And the story makes it clear that he was up for anything. If the man of God had said, climb this holy mountain, he would climb it. If he said, take this pilgrimage, he would take it. If he said, go and make this costly sacrifice, he would make it. Elisha was up for doing some really big stuff. But he balks, and he stops, and he stumbles when what he is asked to do is so small and so simple. I think we can feel this way sometimes too. Almost like we'd rather do the big things, the dramatic actions, the grand gestures for God. But what if that's not what God is asking of us? What if it's simpler than that? What if what God wants from us is faith, lived out in very incremental, small, measly ways? I wonder if you remember a movie from about 15 years ago. It was called As Good As It Gets. It starred Jack Nicklaus and Helen Hunt as, I think, Melvin and Carol. And there were these two characters who, by the end of the movie, are out on a date. And Melvin is this very socially awkward man. He's brusque. He's actually very rude. He's a hard person to be around. But somehow, Carol, Helen Hunt's character, is out on this date with him. And so he's brought her to this really nice restaurant, and he's wearing a brand new suit for the occasion. And she is clearly excited. She looks around the restaurant, and there's music playing, and she says, "Hey, do you want to dance?" And Melvin, Jack Nicklaus, says to her, "Well, I've been thinking a lot about that, and no. I don't want to dance. This place is a dump. We should get out of here." And at that, Carol stands up as if to leave. And you realize, looking at the movie, that she's a beautiful woman. She's dressed to the nines. She's done her hair. She's ready for a big and fun night out. And she says, "Melvin, pay me a compliment. I really need one right now. Pay me a compliment." And he hems and haws and says, "Oh, sit down. It's not so big a deal." And she says, "Pay me a compliment. I need a compliment right now." She's standing up in the middle of the restaurant. And he goes around and around, and finally he says, "Okay. You know, the other day when you came by my house, well, after you left, I took my medicine, these pills that I have to take. They're pills that moderate or manage my mood, and I don't like to take them, but after you left, I took them." And she says, "I don't see how that is a compliment for me." And he says, "Well, here it is. When I'm around you, you make me want to be a better man. You make me want to take my pills every day so I can be a better person to be with you." When we come to understand God's all-surpassing mercy and love and grace toward us, when we recognize the delight that God has in blessing us and building us up and making us whole, we can feel like Melvin. Like we want to be so much better than we are. Like we want to start doing things right in our life and be good and be pure and be right. But the thing that God is asking for us is not the grand gesture or the dramatic action. God's asking us to take our pills every day. The small thing that will enable us to walk faithfully with our God. Melvin started taking those pills. And fortunately or unfortunately for Helen Hunt, she ended up with them. But God, who has acted toward us with compassion and with delightful blessing, is asking us to do this small thing. What would it look like for you today to respond in your life in something not large, but small? What would faithful living look like for you as you move out into your week? My prayer for you today is that you would seek and find what that is as you live out your faith in the days to come. Amen.